Del Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Republicans are not going to buy into a bill that costs $2.5
billion. I guess when you have the economy and health care reform and the deficits under control.
Tondrick, I think you came over as a dancer trying to sing.
I guess when you have the economy and health care reform and the deficits under control.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take the news and we create something entirely new with it. News, issue, even your opinion, you may not, well, you will not listen to talk radio the same way ever again after you hear our show. Coming up on our show tonight, a woman tweets about her abortion. And I mean every little cramp and every little thing. She's tweeting, she's on Twitter, and she's tweeting away. And the pro-life people are tweeting. And they're, well, not so much tweeting as they're probably, they sound a little bit more, they probably sound a little more pissed than one would were one tweeting. Nonetheless, the pro-life and pro-choice people going at it on Twitter because of this woman tweeting about her abortion. Go to our website, watch our show, as well as listen to it at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And listen to the live streaming audio as well if you'd like, and you can download it. All right, we're back to SeaWorld. We must return to this story because yesterday it was really about SeaWorld. It was about the facility. It was about what happened. It was about the animal in question. Today, the conversation among most Americans when it comes to this story, and who doesn't love who doesn't love animals? We all do, on some level. And we certainly love wild animals. Maybe some of us would like to tame them and have them in our backyard. I'm not one of them, although I do think lion cubs are really cool. I don't know that I would want to have a lion cub. I actually held a lion cub once. Dr. Ron Tarner is joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory. And Dr. Tarner, one of the leading voices of the environmental movement. Dr. Tarner, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Well, Phil, I'm grateful to be on your program. Thank you.
I just was going to say, years ago I was doing a radio remote, and somebody walked in with a lion cub.
Uh-huh.
And they said, do you want to hold it? I said, yeah. And I held this little lion cub that was as big.
It's like a small dog, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a big, big, heavy guy. And I held him in my arms like he was a baby, and he just had this kind of low growl, little short hair on him. And I thought, what an amazing animal. And yet I realized that when this animal gets to be big, he's going to see me more as dinner.
Oh, yeah. This is the exact point of wild animals, Phil. That while we love their beauty and we love their grace, and if I may be permitted, Phil, to quote Sir Thomas More, it was a long time ago, but he did say, and I don't think you have to believe in God or not believe in God to enjoy his words. He said that God gave us the animals to teach us about innocence. And I see that when I see wild animals. I see innocence. I don't see innocence so much anymore in the way human beings treat wild animals.
Well, let me talk about this story a little bit more in depth here, Dr. Tarner. Despite calls to free or destroy the animal, SeaWorld said Thursday it will keep the killer whale that drowned its trainer. I don't know who's calling to destroy it.
No one who has any real intelligence or information or knowledge about the interaction between wild animals and human beings would ever call for the destruction of that animal. You cannot free that animal because the animal has been living in captivity for so long. The animal would be exposed to a great many hazards once it was released into the wild. The only thing that can be done, Phil, is to have this animal maintained in captivity in an environment that is more suitable for a whale.
And that is not bobbing up and down in a tank, right?
No, it is not bobbing up and down in a tank. It is whales swim hundreds of miles in any given year. Can you imagine an animal that is used to swimming such distances being enclosed in such a confined space? SeaWorld has been doing this for years. And they've been doing it, Phil, so that the young people of this country and other countries can be amused. I think if you ask me what is at the absolute heart and soul of this controversy, it's that we have wild animals being tormented in captivity so that children have something to do because parents are not involved in their children's lives as much anymore.
And well, boy, that's indicting. That's a whole. You're indicting parents there. You're indicting children.
Well, you asked about animals, Phil, and I did quote Sir Thomas More when he said, "The animals teach us about innocence." And the reason why I say that animals can teach us about innocence is because, Phil, I don't think children teach us about innocence anymore. I think children are miniature adults who walk by a glassed-in environment. They look at an animal like a beautiful killer whale living in this tormented environment and with ice cream dripping down their hands, stare at this creature with amusement and boredom until their parents can move them along to something maybe more interesting. Maybe the dolphins. Maybe some other animal that's chained to a post or kept in a cage. And I'm telling you, Phil...
Yeah, but Dr. Tonner, I mean, what you're saying is eloquent, but You're talking about children and parents. If I'm not mistaken, you're saying the reason why these animals are in captivity in the first place is because parents don't know how to entertain their children?
I'll put it to you this way, Phil, okay?
Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Phil. We are at risk, Phil. The wild animals of this world are at risk because every time a human being captures one and puts one in a zoo... Why has that human being done that to that animal? So that little children can sit and stare at it and, quote-unquote, learn something. This is at the very heart and soul of the existence of zoos, aquariums, SeaWorlds, and every other animal park or area where we exhibit animals. It's for parents to entertain children, to educate children, or so they think. It's really not education at all. It's a kind of babysitting. We are sacrificing the beauty of this earth for the dubious benefit that it gives to the children. And I don't want to be one of many who, when the day comes and we see these beautiful killer whales extinct, I don't want to look at our children with hatred.
And well, you can't be serious.
Phil, I'm very serious.
You're saying if killer whales are extinct...
Or any kind of whale. Look at our beautiful Pacific gray whale, which is migrating down right now from Alaska to Mexico. And you can go out of the whale-watching boat to see it. Now, this animal is endangered. Now, you go out onto a whale-watching boat, and what do you see? You see kids, and they're all over, and they want to see the whale. I don't mind looking at the whale as it's migrating, but those children are going to want to see the whale again. And you can't just take them out, so they want to go and see him at SeaWorld. And that's where the torture begins, because now the whale is in a tank, and the children laugh when they see the whale swim. And the children think it's fun when they see the whale bouncing the ball. And
all right, Dr. Tonner, we're talking about Dr. Ron Tonner. I don't mean to interrupt you, sir, but you're basically making the case here that the reason why animals are in captivity is because of children.
Absolutely, it's because of, I'm not blaming the children. I'm blaming the adults. We have a beautiful trainer. This young woman is dead. Dead. D-E-A-D. Because of lazy parents, spoiled kids.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding. The kid or the parent might have well have pushed this trainer into the tank. So that woman was ravaged to death. And
you made the case here. You don't want to hate kids. Are you telling me? Just so I'm clear.
Why else do we have zoos, Phil?
No. But I want to be clear.
Why else do we have zoos? Please answer my question. Why do we have zoos?
We have zoos to exhibit wild animals.
But who are we exhibiting the wild animals for?
For everybody.
But primarily for who?
Primarily, I think, for everybody.
You are not being honest with me, and I don't want to say that I want to hate you. I don't hate you. And
why would you hate me? I'm saying that zoos are there primarily for children.
All right, and why is SeaWorld there?
For the kids.
All right, and because we have to have something for little ones, these children to look at, because we need to have whales and sea lions, and we need to have elephants and giraffes to look at, because we need that, a young woman, a trainer, was pulled to her death by a whale.
I think you are making an enormous leap.
Am I really? Why is that an enormous leap? They're keeping that They're keeping that park open. They are not going to allow that animal to live in any kind of habitat that's normal. The animal will continue to entertain kids. If you ask me who killed that young woman, I would say the mothers and the fathers of San Diego, but I realize it sounds extreme, but I cannot, I'm not going to attribute it to the animal, but I...
You're saying that moms and dads all across America and the world killed that woman at SeaWorld.
Absolutely, and the only way we're going to get people's eyes open to this problem, Phil, is to direct them to the problem. The reason why we have Shabu, the reason why we have the monkeys and the apes and all of these other animals in captivity is because fathers don't want to play baseball with their sons anymore, is because mothers don't want to learn to sew with their daughters. They want to take them and put them in a grandstand so that the whale will keep their kids abused while mom and dad catch up with the neighbors that are sitting behind them. And I think... as long as we were talking about global warming, you could add this to the reason why we're losing our beautiful wild animals, our large mammals.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, talking to Dr. Ron Tarner. VIP visitors who occasionally were invited to pet the killer whales will no longer be allowed to do so. This is one of the decisions that they've made. So it does have to do with the interaction of humans, but... this was a decision made at SeaWorld that I was just reading here. Dr. Tarner is talking about wild animals being captured and being kept in captivity. And the reason is because we don't know how to entertain our own children. We need to keep the kids amused, and so we bring these animals in from wild animals in from captivity to keep them amused. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't know that I would go so far as to say parents and kids killed that woman trainer. 877-876-PHIL. More calls with Dr. Ron Tarner next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher.
Hey, Phil, I really don't know where to start.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask this racist pig you've got on there.
Hey, I'm not calling you any names. I'm not calling you a name. You got to start off calling me a name? Is that it? Is that how you want this to go? You want me to call you redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck?
But I should.
Huh? I can't hear you over your CB radio, man. I can't hear you over that CB.
With the way you talk to that lady from Hawaii, I guess you're a male chauvinist pig, too. And since you're such a...
You sound like a dumb tobacco juice swallowing cracker. What you feel like? Feel good about that?
At least I'm not... just a hillbilly that interrupts people while they're
speaking. No. You are a hillbilly. You are a hillbilly. You tell me to shut up. No white man tell me to shut up.
All right, come on.
He's back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. And the conversation that's been going on today has to do with the overall question of whether these animals should be kept in captivity. I agree with you, Doctor. I don't think they should. I think that whales, I think that tigers and lions and all of these other animals, I don't care where or how or who, and I agree with you about the zoos. I think they belong in the wild, and I think this asinine game that we've been playing with them has got to end. It's inhumane, and now it's costing people their lives as well. But to say that this is the fault of lazy parents, you know...
Well, let me put it to you this way, and maybe I didn't put it as elegantly as I might have wanted to. I love kids. I've got two children of my own. I have nephews. I've got a grandchild. I also love wild animals. And I am torn. And it saddens me and it depresses me to know that I've got to choose between the happiness of a wild animal and the happiness of a child. But I've got to make the right call. I've got to make the moral call. And the moral call here is to support the wild animal. And if I have to point an accusatory finger at a child and say, I have love, but I must damn you for what you're doing, and I say to you, damn your family for what you did, then I have to do that.
And you're talking to a little kid. The kid didn't do anything.
Well, I mean that in a figurative sense. I mean, I'm pointing to the parents. I'm saying, do you have any other way of entertaining your children other than torturing one of the most beautiful creatures that God ever created? Or is that how you get your laughs? And I could tell you...
You don't honestly believe that parents look at wild animals and say, I think I'll go torture one for the benefit of my children.
It doesn't make any difference to me what their intention is.
But but you don't think they're consciously saying that.
It doesn't make any difference. That's what they're doing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory as we talk about the SeaWorld. He believes the captivity of wild animals can be traced directly back to our need to keep our children entertained. Let's go to Warren in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Warren, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner this evening. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Tarner. Thank you, Phil. I'm speechless. I want to say so many things that are constructive, but to this comparison just seems... Do you have data to back up what you're saying?
You need to speak up, Warren. You need to speak up. Get into the phone there. I know it sounds like you might have a cold, huh?
A little laryngitis.
Need to get up into the phone there. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering what kind of data that may be gathered to try and correlate the evil parents who have taken their children to the SeaWorld to kill this poor woman.
All you have to do, I'm surprised that question is pretty simplistic. All you have to do is look at the attendance figures of any of these animal exhibition and amusements, and you'll see the overwhelming majority of participants are children, that these places are built and are designed to entertain children, and that certainly they're brought there by parents.
And so the correlation, then, is that because
I don't want to wear your throat out, man. But can you answer? He said the correlation.
Well, is he still there?
No, he sounded like he was really struggling with that throat. The correlation.
Correlation is if you've got you're kidding, right?
No, what's the correlation between a SeaWorld?
The correlation is that most of the customers are children, and SeaWorld has a whale there that killed a human being. But that's okay with them as long as the kids are entertained. That's the correlation.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dylan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yeah, I'd have to agree a little bit with Warren. You know, you can't blame children and their parents either, because when I was little, I mean, when I got to go to SeaWorld, that was a treat, man. It wasn't, you know, I didn't get to go there because my parents couldn't entertain me or anything like that. I entertained myself.
Well, how would you know that? You know, and the fact is that SeaWorld was there for your entertainment when you were a kid, and you saw the whale, and you were entertained by the whale, and your parents were happy that
sure
you were entertained by the whale. I can blame the parents because they knew full well that you were looking at an animal that was being tortured half to death.
Now, wait a minute.
You got to go out there and you got to blame the people that captured these animals and put them in here in captivity.
No. I blame the customer.
The
demand is always
they're getting harsh treatment, or just they want to go back to the wild. You know what I mean?
These
animals aren't grown to be put into captivity like this.
And so why would your parents take you out there to look at them when they knew that that was the case?
Well, the parents didn't know.
I've only been to SeaWorld once in my entire life, man, so you can't really tell me that, you know, that's just ridiculous.
Well, you've only been once, so it sounds convenient. I guess if you're telling me the truth, that's fine, but you did go. And the point that I...
Tell you the truth, man, I went for the roller coasters, man. I didn't go for the animals or anything like that.
You said you were taken by your parents, or did you go by yourself? Which is...
Actually, I went on a field trip, so... You know what I mean?
We could blame the school. But the fact is that you can't blame
the
people that captured the animals.
You're going to blame anybody.
That's like blaming the drug
pusher.
Blame
the people that put the animals in there. Because either they're in there or they're
out here. All right, let me ask you this. If we've got a drug problem in this country, is it with the people that buy the drugs or the people that supply the drugs? Where do you think the problem is?
I think
it's with the demand.
Equally.
Okay, then I'm blaming your parents. Just as much as I blame the people that caught that whale for, you know what, If you can't figure out your parents exposed you to torture and you laugh your way through that,
but say the truth.
Oh, wait a minute.
He went and saw an animal tortured, and then he went giggling on a roller coaster.
You know,
no, he didn't.
Animals,
all right, listen, I appreciate your call very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Tarner. Shamu, is he tortured so that kids can have fun?
Phil Hendry.
Boy, I'm frustrated.
We have Dr. Ron Tarner with us. You talk about the health care program, huh?
Well, in a lot of ways, Phil, health care is like these beautiful animals, a wild animal that people want to contain and torture. I think the health care argument has been the same thing. I think it's a very important component, if you will, of our happiness, of our societal happiness. And yet we want to destroy it the same way we want to destroy these dolphins. Or these whales, I should say. So you cannot tell me that this trainer who died yesterday died as the result of anything other than the need of society to keep its children entertained while our wild animals, beautiful creatures like the killer whale and the lions and tigers and all of these other animals, while these animals are killed, stripped of their fur and adorned the backs of billionaires' wives, and the blubber goes to feed Eskimo. That's why I don't really, I'm not a big fan of the Eskimos. I don't think Eskimos are all that representative of a pure indigenous lifestyle. Not when they slaughter animals like these.
Well, we could get into all of that, Dr. Tarner, but you're talking about this animal, the whale that killed this trainer, being this death of this poor woman, the result of our need to entertain our children. Now, did you not tell me that you worked at a seaquarium when you were a young person?
No, I was working. I was in marine biology, and we were working as interns during the summer, acquiring various subjects for different aquariums and seaquariums in the area. At that time, I was living in the Houston, Texas area. We went into the Gulf of Mexico as part of different expeditions to acquire these subjects, marine mammal life, both for research and but more importantly, as exhibits for the seaquarium. We went out there, and yes, that man who said that we're responsible for the death of these animals, it's not our fault, the people who catch them, it's the fault of these junkies, if you will, these whale junkies who have to look at them. But we caught dolphins.
How did you catch the dolphins?
Say that again?
How did you catch these dolphins?
We caught them any way we could. We used ropes. We used nets. We would literally, if we had to, use something heavy and stun the animal with it. We'd hit them over the head with it. We did it, and I don't make any apologies for this because that's how ravenous these...
In other words, you caught dolphins in ways that we're told today are inhumane. And you're talking about...
Hold on, Phil. We caught these dolphins any way we could because these families and the public was ravenous like a junkie, like a drug addict, ravenous to see wild dolphins and whales. So you can't blame us.
You know, you use that drug addiction. Don't blame the supplier. Blame the user.
Absolutely, blame the user.
And yet you're out there beating dolphins on the head, roping them and everything else. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to Jake in San Antonio. We're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, Jake.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I just wanted to comment and say, like I said, as a former employee, you know, and before I get any kind of brainwashed jargon or anything, signed up for the job so that I could help educate kids about animals.
Where did you work? I didn't hear. Where did you work, sir? I was not privy to the conversation. Where do you say you worked?
Where did you work, Jake?
SeaWorld San Antonio.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right.
And you're coming out and admitting that. All right.
I'm sorry?
Dr. Tonner, go ahead, Jake. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is that, you know, to get right to the point, the reason that we have animals there is to educate kids, to let them see close up what animals are like, just like the zoo. You know, just to kind of let them know, you know, that these animals are here, what they look like, what they do, what their habits are. And I can't even tell you how many times the kids come up to me and said, you know, I want to be a marine biologist, or I want to be, and these kids grow up to be, you know, conservationists, ecologists, marine biologists, all kinds of things that are pro-animal. And I think that your accusation
I don't think you know that. You're not old enough to have seen these children grow up to be anything. You sound very young yourself, sir. I think that's a fair statement.
I was actually one of those kids that did grow up to be one of them, so I can say that.
You did not. You grew up to be a man that works at SeaWorld where they torture animals, so...
All right, well, let's have some respect for what Jake is doing. I mean, the man means well.
I'm asking Jake. He's proving my point. He says that he works at SeaWorld, and what does he see? A bunch of kids pouring through the turnstiles to watch a whale.
The only reason I mentioned the kids is that was your platform. I chose to get on it with you. There's plenty of parents here, plenty of teenagers, plenty of college kids. It's a destination. There's only three of them in the whole nation, so people come here to come see them.
You do see a lot of children, is that correct?
We see a good amount of children, but we see a good amount of adults and teenagers too. So, you know,
and
we're all kind of blamed here.
And you know that when those whales get pulled out of the ocean and dropped into a tank, that they better perform for those kids or they're going to be eviscerated and rendered for cat food, right?
No, they don't do that. They don't do that.
I'm sure.
Let me ask you, what do you do if you can't trade the whale? I'll tell you what you do. You have to turn it into something. Don't you give it to Eskimos?
To do what? For blubber?
This is hilarious.
You're the man that works there. You're the man that works there. Tell me, what would you do with a whale that did not perform properly?
You have to retrain it. It's easy. It's just like a kid that acts out. You don't kill your kid because it stays out past curfew. You retrain it. It's not a novel idea here. You have something that gets out of line and you retrain it.
Exactly. Because you've got to get your money's worth so that the children, and I love children, but I've grown to hate them because I've seen what they've done to whales. And you are the agent of those children torturing that animal. You don't see that?
You really are dramatic, man. I mean, you're calling this poor young man an agent of torture for...
At the behest of children, yes.
Jake, I appreciate very much your work. And do you have a degree in marine biology? Are you did you start out as an intern? How did you start out with your...
Started out as an intern, then I got my degree in marine biology from Texas A&M University.
Wait a sec. And you're telling me you have a degree in marine biology, and you don't want to tell the people the truth, you're torturing animals. Tell it. Tell them.
Oh, man.
Well, why do you think that's funny?
I'm flabbergasted.
If you've got a degree in marine biology, you're telling me that that's a natural state? I don't want to hate children, but you are forcing me to hate children.
He's not forcing you. Thank you very much for your call. He's not forcing you to do anything. He's not telling you to do anything. Jessica in New York City, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Ron Tarner.
By virtue of the fact that he works as an agent for torturing those animals at the behest of children.
Go ahead, Jessica.
I actually have to completely agree with Jake. I mean, the purpose of institutions is not just for the entertainment of children, and it just doesn't even make sense to think that that's the only thing. I just think
That's why we did it originally, so the children would have something to stare at.
But things have changed.
Are you telling me children are no longer interested in animals? I don't think
it's not just children.
You're thinking very clearly.
That's not the purpose of institutions such as SeaWorld.
But no, SeaWorld likes you to believe that they're there to help the killer whale prosper. They're not doing anything down there any different than they did 30 years ago. They're selling more popcorn. They've got a whale in a tank. What about that lion that ate that man in San Francisco? Why did they have... You remember the...
It was a tiger.
The tiger that jumped out of the cage. That tiger should have been kept in captivity, but because the San Francisco Zoo has got... And in that case, they need a lot of inner-city people because their zoo is in the inner city. So they have to pack in as many Hispanics as they can, and one of them got eaten.
I mean,
well,
I'm sorry.
You sound a little racist.
Zoological institutions, the purpose is for basically breeding animals in order to put them back into the wild.
Are you?
And it just so happens that there's...
Bab, that is not why they have killer whales at SeaWorld. Are you telling me they're breeding killer whales to put them back in the wild? Oh.
Yeah, absolutely, just like any other animal.
No, ma'am, wrong.
And another thing about
what they
SeaWorld,
do at SeaWorld. I went SeaWorld, into the underground area of SeaWorld. Have you been there?
Been where?
I have not. I actually work at the Central Park Zoo.
All right,
that
of you work at the New York City? All right, that's a very, thank you. Do you remember the Central Park Zoo back in the, well, you're not old enough, neither am I, but back in the 1860s when they opened it?
It's completely different. It's not the same zoo. I don't know if you've been recently.
Well, in the 1860s, they had monkeys crammed into cages.
Absolutely.
It was disgusting.
1860s is the 1860s. Yeah, this is the 21st century now.
That was definitely not for the purpose of children. That was the purpose... That was for rich.
You're going to tell me a lot. Where do you keep your gorillas? Where do you keep your gorillas? This is going to tell me a lot.
We don't have gorillas at the Central Park Zoo. But
that tells me a lot.
But to get back to SeaWorld specifically,
what does that tell you?
Thousands of dollars to rehabilitate one animal. Where do you think they get that money from? They have to a certain extent.
They get it from the parents of children who are not entertained.
They get it from funding from the entire country and the entire world. Who are educated about these animals because they've seen them, and because they've seen them, they care about them.
That woman would not have been killed yesterday, young lady, had it not been for the thousands and thousands and thousands of little children sitting there, getting impatient, scratching themselves, and crying, and they wanted something, anything, to alleviate the boredom, so let's get the whale out there, even if it kills a human being.
Oh, come on, Dr. Turner. You know, you're being very... You're almost...
No. The lady... See how they laugh? These zoology zoo people think it's funny, because she knows I'm getting close to the truth.
No, I completely disagree. I'm getting my master's
degree
in conservation
biology,
and I cannot be told that these rehabilitation programs have no purpose, because that's really the main purpose.
Rehabilitation programs, but that's not what you... You don't do that at the Central Park Zoo.
Yes, we do.
How many apes did you rehabilitate? You can't, because it's not a jungle.
What?
How many apes does she rehabilitate?
I mean, I don't know if you have been to any of these zoos recently, but the AZA, the American Zoological Institution Association, the only way that a zoo can get accredited is if they have breeding programs for reintroduction.
Wait a minute, the American Zoological Institution Association?
Just association. The AZA. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate the work you do.
Anyway, I got to get going here, Jessica.
No, but I wanted to ask her one more question about how many apes she...
She is a... She works at the zoo.
They don't have apes.
Thank you.
Apes are only gorillas, chimpanzees,
well, I don't know that you don't know that you've never personally...
We do have monkeys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I bet you do. Well, I bet you have monkeys. And I bet you they pay top dollar to get in.
That's funny. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Turner. You know, you're insulting that lady who works for the Central Park Zoo, which is one of the country's longtime zoos.
Yeah, that's about all I could say for it. And I'll tell you something.
You know what, Dr. Turner, what you've been talking about here is the fact that animals are used to entice children so that they can make money, so that kids aren't bored to tears and we murder animals. Now, you asked her whether they had gorillas. She said none. You said, how many apes have you personally rehabilitated? She said none. And so you had to work that ape line.
Look, it was a good line. So I said, all right, how about the apes that come through the turnstiles? I had to get something out of it.
See, that's what I mean. Everything's a big joke. 877-876-PHIL, Dr. Ron Turner on the whale at SeaWorld that killed that trainer. People are now talking about the actual, the ethics, the morality of keeping a beautiful animal like that, a wild animal of any kind, in captivity. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls with Dr. Ron Turner on the world-famous Phil Henry Show coming up. Now you're trivializing it by saying, how many apes do you rehabilitate?
Phil Henry.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Yes, you did.
Broadcasting. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I'm talking with Dr. Ron Tarner. You know about the DNA?
Yeah, the Genome Project, yeah.
And so that people can send their DNA in or something, and their DNA can be read, their ancestry can be read all the way back to Africa?
Yes, to Eastern Africa. We have the microbial trails. I don't work in this field, Phil, but I've seen the Genome Genetic Project. And these microbial trails go all the way through. It's the human family. And we emerged from Eastern Africa, and we now have these different pathways out of Eastern Africa.
Well, I don't know who my grandparents are. My parents were adopted. But let's get back to the whale and to SeaWorld. You're talking here about you even indicted that lady from the Central Park Zoo, saying that she, as well as that young man from the SeaWorld in San Antonio, saying that they are partners in the heinous captivity of these animals.
Yes, they are. I don't mean this as a personal comment on the quality of the people involved, but they are either wittingly or unwittingly aiding and abetting the wholesale murder and butchery of beautiful animals just so someone's little girl in a puffy Sunday dress. It's very difficult for me to maintain my emotional... I get very emotional because, again, I don't want to hate kids. God, I don't want to hate them.
Nobody's asking you to hate children. Why do you feel it's a choice between either...
Because I've seen what they've done to the ape, I've seen what they've done to the lion, and now I'm watching them disseminate killer whales.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't think anybody's asking you to hate children. Here is Renee in Anchorage, Alaska. Renee, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Ron Tarner on The Phil Hendry Show.
No one's asking me to, Phil. That's what they're forcing me into.
Go ahead,
well,
Renee.
Dr. Turner, I've listened to you for about the last half hour now. And
yes, ma'am.
First, as an Alaskan, I don't appreciate your comments about Eskimos and sustenance. It is a lifestyle. It is protecting their way of life and their culture, and I found it very insulting.
If they're slobbering whales,
sir, they're providing their families with the way that their culture has let them do, and they're preserving a way of life. Secondly, that's your choice,
but you don't need to be a bigot
and a racist against Alaskans.
Oh, I'm a racist.
Secondly,
well, what if I said I don't like you either? Am I a racist now, too?
Well, you don't have to like me, but you will respect me, sir. That's part of the way that things work when you're a grown-up.
I'm not a racist. I don't like anybody that slobbers on a whale.
As far as the whale is concerned, sir, it's not because of children, and it's not because of... The only people to blame is the negligence in the way the situation was handled. When this particular killer whale was purchased by the zoo, it was purchased for breeding purposes only. It was not supposed to be a show animal. There were stipulations to the purchase. This killer whale had been... There had been three previous associated suspicious happenings with people dying with this particular animal. And SeaWorld is really going to have to question themselves on if they followed the stipulations of this purchase. It was supposed to be for breeding. And it's my understanding that this particular killer whale has contributed to the killer whale population by breeding over 13 different animals. So this whale
That's
is
what
not
SeaWorld
in
wants you to believe. Yes, yes. Good girl, you read the propaganda and you believe it.
That this happened.
You
it is
read
the
propaganda and you believed it.
Wait a minute.
Because a killer
whale.
It was following its natural instincts.
Well, nobody's disagreeing with that. Renee, this is Phil. Renee, this is Phil Hendry. Nobody's disagreeing with that. And I don't really know, Dr. Turner, where you disagree with Renee.
I don't disagree with her that the whale should have been better cared for. The whale should never have been captured in the first place. The same way those Eskimos should be butchering them for fun and playing with their blubber.
They're not doing it for fun. They're doing it to feed their families and to clothe their families.
Are you telling me they can't go to a supermarket like everybody else?
In some parts of Alaska, there are no supermarkets, sir. Have you been to Alaska? Have you been to Nome or Barrow or Kosciuszko? Or to Bethel, or to Kodiak, or to Sitna. Have you been to these places, sir? There's not free trade. There's not supermarkets where you can just go to buy milk or to buy meat.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you didn't live anywhere where there was a reasonable place to support your family, wouldn't you move to a place that was? That's what I
not if I wanted to preserve my culture. If I was an Alaskan native, sir, and I was proud of my heritage and my culture,
and
I would do
starving?
Everything I could to preserve that for my family and to pass on my traditions.
Oh, I see.
Just as I'm
even
sure
if you butchered up every whale, even if you butchered every whale in God's seven seas.
Oh, they're not doing that, okay?
The Alaskan sustenance hunters, they have. What they do is they preserve the culture to pass on to their children and to their family members to continue the traditions. Uh-huh. They don't go overboard with how much they consume.
Now,
that's
so
part
say.
Of the tradition is
why
respecting
is
the animals. Part
then
of the tradition
why is it every time I see an animal, I get
the
ten.
Continuing flow for the next generation. That's the
that
culture.
Sounds very pretty.
They're not
Renee.
Just
it
doing it for
all
sport
very
and for fun.
Pretty.
Every part of the animal
it's
is
all,
used.
Oh, every part of the animal's used.
Yes,
I don't think
everything
so.
From the fat to the bones for tools to the skin for
the,
clothing.
What about the obvious part?
What?
She's not mentioning the obvious.
I'm sorry?
What? Thank you very much.
You're
thank you.
Sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I apologize today. Thank you. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I think it's a legitimate question.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
We will reunite them with their parents or with their relatives because we already know that some of these children still have parents.
I think it's a shame that people are focusing on this. I could not have told this
story. You wrote about it.
But I couldn't have told this story.
Last year, we found $17 billion in cuts. This year, we've already found $20 billion.
So you come up with this idea, mm-hmm. and you go on YouTube. Mm-hmm. What is the reaction?
The surge is not working.
World-famous Phil Henry Show till 1 o'clock every night on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. A trip to the looking glass, man. This is the Alice in Wonderland trip to the looking glass of media, talk, radio, news, and maybe the way you view things as well. And let me give you the number, the all-important phone number, 877-876-PHIL, because it's a talk show. And coming up tonight, we have David G. Hall, who's our vice president of syndication, to be talking with us about the proposed Mother Teresa stamp. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. We have David G. Hall on the line with us, our vice president of syndication. We're talking here, David, about something very unusual, I know, that you wanted to bring up. And I'm not exactly sure how to get into this.
Can I ask you a question before we do, Phil?
Yeah.
You started out a little confused. I could hear that you were starting out, you were talking about your website, and you didn't remember the... I know you're a little bit nervous about interviewing me on this, right?
I'm nervous about this only because it's an unusual step for us to take. You're a part of the producing team of this show, and you're about to make well, it's not a really controversial statement, but where you're taking it, I think, is controversial.
Well, I can trust you. I can tell you that you can trust me when I say this. I don't think it's going to be that controversial. I think your audience is going to understand. And I'm taking this opportunity, Phil, because I feel very strongly that I need to advocate on behalf of a group of people that I represent. And when I say represent, they knew that I was going on your program. We're not an official organization. But the story you were going to do tonight about the United States government proposing a stamp with Mother Teresa on it is one that is a little disturbing to us, and I wanted to bring this up in your program to see if we couldn't get equal time on this.
All right, well, you tell everybody you're an atheist, right?
I am an atheist, and I'll let everyone know the vice president of syndication for your show is an atheist. I don't believe in God, but that doesn't mean that I am against freedom of religion. What I am against is using Mother Teresa to push the ball further down the field in the argument for religion. I think that it is unwise, it is unfair that they take someone as potent and as powerful a figure as Mother Teresa, put her face on a stamp, which is a argument for religion. We don't have anybody arguing on our behalf. We don't have anyone that we can put on a stamp. Even if I were to bring up famous atheists like
Ralph Emerson, or if I brought up a famous atheist like General George Patton or people like that, no one is as powerful an image as Mother Teresa.
All right, so you're saying that if you had an atheist that you could get on a U.S. stand, who did you bring up? You brought up Ralph Emerson.
George Patton, Ralph Emerson, Dwight Eisenhower.
Eisenhower was an atheist?
In his private life. He didn't make that into a, obviously didn't make it into a public issue. But, yeah, and there's a number of them that didn't make it into a public. Eleanor Roosevelt was an atheist. Some say that Martin Luther King, even though he was a Baptist priest, you know, as a Baptist minister, was an atheist at heart.
Well, that I don't believe that for a minute. I mean, you just said the man was a reverend. He was a preacher. And he quoted the Bible.
Right. Well, he did that because of the audience. But here's the point that I'm making. When you go on the air and you talk about Mother Teresa getting a stamp, you are, I think, furthering a very unfair argument. There's no atheist that carries the weight that a Mother Teresa carries. There's no atheist that could go on a stamp that would make as good an argument as Mother Teresa makes for religion. And it is one of those moves that the government makes every now and again to shut us up. And I think it's unfair and unwise, and I don't want to have to pull, as they say, I don't want to have to pull my ace card here, you know. But atheists have a little bit of power, too.
What ace card could you pull? I mean, for instance...
if you want me to talk about it...
Well, let's talk, before I ask you that, Mother Teresa is being proposed for a stamp, a United States postage stamp. Now, she has, as they say in the business, she has a constituency. She has Roman Catholics. She has people that admired her work, who may not be Catholic, but just humanitarians, people who are even on the fringes of religion, on the fringes of any kind of belief system, know who she is. Now, you don't like her on that stamp because she's too powerful, right?
Yes. And
you said that you don't want to have to pull your ace card. What is that?
Well, my ace card is that I produce a radio show like yours, and I could have you do an hour every night against the Mother Teresa stamp. But I don't want to do that.
Well, why would you force this show to do something like that, man? First of all, it's not going to get a lot of listeners.
Well, I beg to differ. Yes, it would get a lot of listeners. Every night, starting at 10 o'clock, to have you do 1 hour, have you bringing on guests, you could bring me on, we do 1 hour campaigning vigorously against ever seeing Mother Teresa on a U.S. postage stamp or any other government-issued document, I think we would get audience interest. I don't want to do that yet.
What if the host, and I'm talking about me, David, right now, what if the host is not in favor of that?
I certainly understand that, Phil, but I'm the vice president of syndication, so you ultimately have to do, and I'm a producer of the show.
Well, I know that you're a producer of the show, and you're saying I have to do that if I don't want to do it. And,
well, I don't know what you're... If you say you don't want to do the show, then we would have to get somebody else there to do the show. But
so if I said I'm going to set out these nights that you're going to be doing the Mother Teresa stamp...
You can do that. We'll get someone else to do it. But we're going to do every single night a solid 60 minutes campaigning against seeing Mother Teresa anywhere near a U.S. postage stamp until we get a couple of atheists on a postage stamp. Because what's happening here, Phil, is the weight that she carries is so enormous, it would take three postage stamps representing three different atheists to equal. And I don't want to have to propose that. What I'm proposing is keep her off the stamp.
And let me ask you again, what three atheists?
You know, you're asking me a lot of questions. You've just said that you're not going to do this. You just said that you would boycott this.
No, I did not say that, David. I said, what if, okay? If you're going to tell me you're going to pull your ace card and force us to do an hour a night opposing Mother Teresa on a stamp because you're an atheist. I'm asking you, what is the possible solution with atheists on a stamp? I mean, I don't want to have to do that, okay?
And you said you'd walk off.
I said, I'm going to think about it. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here night after night after night talking about how Mother Teresa doesn't deserve her own postage stamp. And who are you getting?
I told you we've got Ralph Waldo Emerson, Eisenhower, Eleanor Roosevelt, there's famous atheists Angelina Jolie is an atheist. We could put her on a stamp instead of Mother Teresa, and I can tell you right now, Angelina Jolie, I think she'd sell more stamps than Mother Teresa.
I don't know.
Well, I do. Yes, she would. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to come out and say, I don't want Mother Teresa on a stamp, and if you do put her on a stamp, then we got to get Angelina Jolie and Dwight Eisenhower on a stamp. I don't want to have to do that.
Well, Dwight Eisenhower would be on a stamp because he was a great American president. He was a great American general.
No, but we would let people know he was an atheist. Atheist. Three syllables. And to me, that would be an eye-opener.
All right, let me first off give our phone number out. It is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to David G. Hall here about Mother Teresa, the potential of Mother Teresa having a stamp with her face on it. And because you are an atheist, David, and I know that there are others in the country who are atheists, you're completely opposed to that. But your argument is that she just carries too much juice, huh?
She's got a lot of power. You put her on a stamp, and it continues to ruin the efforts of atheists across this country, which I know cannot distress a lot of people. But the fact is, we're asking for an even break here. And if you're going to put Mother Teresa on a stamp, then we are entitled to our atheist stamp. But I will say this. I'm asking you to conduct your show devoting an hour a night to this. Otherwise, I got to pull you off the air and get somebody else to do it.
We can talk about that later.
I beg your pardon?
We can talk about that later. I'm not prepared to talk about that right now. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. The U.S. government, the U.S. Post Office, proposing a stamp for Mother Teresa. What is that doing to atheists across this country? Well, in the case of one, David G. Hall, who's also our vice president of syndication, he feels that that is unfair, too powerful an image, too much to fight against, and they are asking the U.S. government to either cease or they would request a popular American atheist, such as Eleanor Roosevelt or Angelina Jolie, for a stamp. 877-876-PHIL. More with David G. Hall on your phone calls here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's not what I said.
Phil Henry.
Let me be as clear as I possibly can. There is no reason in the world we live in today, just as there was no reason in the world that people lived in 100 years ago, not to have a gun in the house, not to know how to use it, not to be as proficient as you can in the use of that weapon, not to know how to use it. No, there's no reason at all why people everywhere shouldn't own guns. Guns have been effectively elevated to the level of a black magic talisman that draw evil spirits. Well, that's not the case. I'm here to tell you folks, you'll be happy to know, that a gun is a collection of components and parts that does a certain thing if it's operated properly. To wit, if somebody's crawling through a bedroom window, you can blow their freaking head off with it. How about that? But you're made to feel ashamed, you're made to feel like you're a criminal, and let's not forget you're a right-wing gun nut. If you ask, may I exercise my constitutional right and own a gun? Yeah, nursing homes ought to have them, schools ought to have them, malls ought to have them, homes should have them, conceal and carry should be allowed on campuses. Oh yeah. And this other argument that is about as feckless as it gets, which is the following. If everybody has a gun, it'll be a Wild West show. So what you're saying then, in other words, is you're affirming the superstition that the gun creates some voodoo that makes the person want to be violent. Is that it? So are we back now to video games create violence? Show coming up, Bobby Dooley joins us in our next hour, I should say, at 11 o'clock on the West Coast and 2 a.m. on the East Coast. We have with us here David G. Hall. He's the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show, an unusual position, not an unusual position for you to be in, David, an unusual occupation, but your stand as a vocal atheist and coming on my program and threatening to control the programming of my show.
I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, did you not say that if I refuse to join you in banning this Mother Teresa stamp.
No, I didn't say that at all. I said I would be worried that if they insist on going through the Mother Teresa stamp, which is a very powerful image, and I think it's unfair because you do have the Roman Catholic Church pressuring the United States government to do this, to try to get some positive public relations rolling after a decade of disastrous PR for the Roman Church.
What you would say, the Papists? Do you really believe that?
Well, I mean, I think they're putting pressure on the government to get a Mother Teresa stamp. I'm an atheist, and I'm just asking for fair play. They put her on a stamp that destroys months of work that we've done as atheists. And so we would ask either equal time for a famous atheist. We mentioned Angelina Jolie. We mentioned Eleanor Roosevelt, George Patton, or we spend an hour a night on your show. Yeah.
That's what I mean. You're threatening to take over, co-opting an hour of my show to promote the atheist point of view.
Yes, that's right. And you have a problem with that because you don't believe in free speech or you don't like atheists. I don't know what it is.
No, it's just that it's my show and I'd like to do what I want to do on my show.
No, the fact that I'm an atheist.
And the other thing that you are an atheist and also a producer on the show really prejudices you and makes this show look bad.
I disagree.
Why?
Because as the vice president of syndication, I'm a celebrity like you, and people think that celebrities being atheists, it's not quite as threatening when a celebrity is an atheist as opposed to a regular citizen like these people that you deal with in Wisconsin, which I understand. They're not very savvy or very intelligent people.
All right, I'm going to take a phone call here, and I don't know how that makes that different. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show.
What makes what different?
The fact that because you think, you say you're a celebrity, you're a behind-the-scenes executive on our show, is different from somebody in Wisconsin being an atheist.
They're not very glamorous people.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. We're talking about the proposed Mother Teresa stamp. David G. Hall is an atheist. He says the stamp is absolutely unfair because it is a public relations nightmare for atheists. Here is Justin in New Hampshire. Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
All right. Oh, thank you very much. I really think this guy's missing the point because, I mean, just because it's an Elvis stamp doesn't mean we need three stamps of non-Elvis supporters. I mean, I don't see the point of having to have
religion. Elvis is not a religious figure. I don't think that there's a difference between Elvis, who doesn't represent a belief system, and Mother Teresa, who represents a belief system in God.
No,
and
what I'm trying to bring out here is really the fallacy in what this guy's doing. I mean, he's bringing out this guy
You're talking to David, Justin.
Yeah, you're talking to David Hall. You can go to say this guy.
David Hall.
Well, he didn't know.
Well, sir, yeah, go ahead and speak, but I think you're blowing it. You're blowing it badly.
But let him say what he has to say.
I'm just not able to speak yet. Can I get this out? Like, I'd really love to.
Go ahead. Justin, right. Go ahead.
I feel as though...
gave the guy all the time he needed.
Would you... go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. I feel as though David Hall is taking the... You know what?
Go on, man. He's taking... Yes, he's done.
Okay. I feel as though David Hall speaks about Mother Teresa as being on a stamp. I mean, a stamp is it's a novelty issue at this point. I mean, someone is mailing a letter, okay? We have so many different images on the stamps right now that, I mean, I hardly find it as being a religious figure on a stamp.
Name a religious figure on a stamp. I've seen...
some people think, for instance, Malcolm X.
Is a religious figure.
Malcolm X.
Okay, can I please speak?
See, that's the other thing. Malcolm X, that promotes Islam and King, too.
Well,
Malcolm X. Islam. Okay, cool. Okay. You know what? Malcolm X is as a representative. Okay, Malcolm X represents, like, it represents Black history and the moments that have gone through within that. Okay, Mother Teresa, she represents our altruist notions within our society, within our world, okay?
No, she represents
just because she's
papers,
on there doesn't take
papers,
atheism. I'm an atheist myself, and I find this ridiculous. I find your argument...
How can you call yourself an atheist, sir, when you allow Mother Teresa, papers representative...
Okay, you want to
look
know
at this,
why?
This
because
is...
Just because there's a picture on a letter that is mailed, means absolutely nothing. Okay, it is mailed to my grandmother. Okay, I put a picture of her.
Going to get influenced.
Okay,
by
what
that.
Does that matter?
You want an atheist to get influenced by that? You want an atheist to see that? Go to and turn to God, because that's what's happening.
So what if an atheist sees that and turns to God?
Okay, as atheists, we're not really supposed to really believe in anything. Atheists are essentially at this point nihilists, as far as I'm concerned. Okay,
what?
And we
nihilist.
Yeah, I really do.
I understand what that is, a nihilist. I'm saying to you that our numbers are dwindling because
an atheist. This is ridiculous.
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Nihilism is. That's ridiculous.
Our numbers are dwindling because of this Mother Teresa and all these religious.
No, your numbers aren't dwindling. How are atheists? You're picking up on my era of
Your generation of atheists were losing
atheist generation. You gotta be kidding.
You look at Mother Teresa and then you go, "Oh, I want to believe in God now."
Wait.
Hold on for a minute.
Maybe I want to help people.
What? No, you don't. Well, maybe you do, but I'm saying maybe you do, but I'm saying that there are atheists.
You just said I don't.
Who see Mother Teresa?
Wrong again. They're wrong. But you're completely.
I'm wrong. There are young atheists your age that see Mother Teresa and say, "Oh my God, I want to be a priest." And the next thing you know, that's one less at the tree burning.
Maybe that could be. All right, take the. Thank you very much, Justin. Thank you. Our number 877-876 Phil David Hall will be back as he talks about, as an atheist, the fact he doesn't want this Mother Teresa stamp because it's unfair and the atheists are being bulldozed. 1-877-876 Phil. More of your phone calls coming up with David G. Hall here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
How's it going, Porky?
What's with Porky? Phil Hendry Show, back with David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication. We're speaking about David as an atheist. You've come on the program to say that you are foursquare against the Mother Teresa stamp, a U.S. postal stamp with her picture on it, because the unfair propaganda value of that, that the Catholic Church may be putting its pressure on the U.S. government, that it would take three stamps with atheists on them to offset the power that a Mother Teresa stamp has. You've also said and acknowledged that other caller that the younger atheists are turning away.
That's a point that I want to make, Phil. Younger atheists, and there are a lot of young atheists, are confronted by these images, papists, because I'm not going to say that the government is controlled. But why not a picture of a young atheist like an Angelina Jolie? Let me put it to you this way. Angelina Jolie has done just as much, I mean, single-handedly, she's done just as much for, these kids that are living in the street and everything, than Mother Teresa. And on top of that, we can go to the films of Angelina Jolie and relax and watch a lovely young woman. You know, there's a joke, maybe I shouldn't say the joke, but a good friend of mine, Jim Surf, said he saw Angelina Jolie. So now there's a stamp I'd like to lick.
That's not unnecessary.
Well, there's not children listening.
But there are women listening. I think it's unnecessary.
You know, you push it further down the road to that day when I take over that hour of your show. You know that
you can take over an hour of this show and do anything you want. I'm not going to come on here and campaign against a Mother Teresa stamp. And I'd rather not hear jokes about Angelina Jolie being a stamp you'd like to lick.
Well, the fact is, am I lying?
Huh? I don't. It doesn't mean anything to me, man.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't speak Swahili. I didn't get that. What did you say?
I said it doesn't mean anything to me. 877-876 Phil.
It doesn't mean anything to you to have a famous atheist like Angelina Jolie.
If Angelina Jolie can pull the same kind of publicity and effort on the part of people and love and admiration that Mother Teresa can, by God, that's fantastic for the atheists, you know? Whether she's going to get a stamp or not, I don't know.
Well, it's unfair that she doesn't get a stamp when she's done far more than Mother Teresa in her wildest hallucinations could ever have done.
Well, I don't know that you can prove that.
I think I can.
Well, I'd love to see it try. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Adam. Adam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir. You're on with David G. Hall.
Yes, I have 3 points to make. First off, Dave, you're not a celebrity just because you're a producer of a radio show or a station, whichever.
I mean, it is the entertainment business.
Hey, Dave, I'm talking here. Anyway, get off your pedestal that you built and come back down to earth with the rest of us. Second of all, when Angelina Jolie does something besides poison society like she's been doing and does something great for the betterment of humanity and society,
You're trying to be dumb? You got no information.
But let the guy talk.
Oh, he's talking through his mouth.
I have all the information
you
have.
No, you don't. She does something like that. Jolie hasn't done anything. And she's done a lot for the kid, the crippled kids in Russia.
Oh, she's adopted a few kids. Great.
What?
You know how many other people in the world adopt kids every day?
No, I'm saying the kid that the war refugees, the war refugees in, what do you call it?
Iraq.
Anyway, so, when she does something like that, change society for the better, then she would deserve to be on the stand. Whether she's an atheist or not, I could care less then.
How many of you adopted? None. Zero.
I can't hear what the man's saying.
He hasn't adopted any kids. He has no right to talk on your show and tell.
Hey, no, look at the guys.
I've never adopted any kids or not. You don't know me.
You would have had the courts allowed you. Had the courts allowed you, you would have, but.
Let's not get down and get personal like this.
Hang on a second, Phil. Let me tell you something, son. If the courts would allow me, the courts would allow me a hell of a lot more than you would, and they would allow you. You have no right to talk about me like that.
I wouldn't allow you. I wouldn't allow you to adopt kids. That's fair.
Probably because you're an idiot. You're a narrow-minded idiot.
All right.
Angelina Jolie adopted the poor Iraq kids and all of that.
That's great.
You don't even know what you...
That's great. That's great.
David, you don't even know what Angelina Jolie has done, and you're propping her here.
She adopted those. She got the war refugees. So she did something with the war refugees.
The point that you're making, Adam, I take it, is that Mother Teresa deserves a stamp.
Look at the guy that she can't make himself clear.
Exactly.
Okay.
And also, Dwight Eisenhower on a stamp, I would say he deserves one as well.
Even though he was an atheist.
And my third point, let's be honest here. How many times have you bought a stamp from the post office, looked at it, and said, oh, my God, this has changed my life? You never do. You put it on your letter.
I bought the breast cancer stamp, and I bought that Marilyn Monroe stamp. The Marilyn Monroe stamp.
Something like that actually donates to a cause. That's
Changed your mind, didn't it? That's right. Otherwise, your wife is... If you don't buy the breast cancer stamp, your wife's going to think you want her to die. So you got to buy that.
You got to buy that.
Oh, will you get out of here? You got to buy. All right, look at. Thank you for your call, Adam. 877-876 Phil. Laura in Anchorage, Alaska. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, this gentleman here, I'm really having a hard time seeing his logic and what he really believes. I mean, you don't want a stamp with Mother Teresa, which signifies faith, which is a positive thing for the American people.
Well, no,
give me more. Give me more to go on because you sound ridiculous.
I don't want a stamp for Mother Teresa because of the PR machine behind her.
There's no PR. Are you saying the Bible is PR? Are you saying Sunday Mass is PR?
The Catholic Church has a huge PR machine.
What is a huge PR machine? I can't hear you.
The Catholic Church, that's how they got that movie The Passion of the Christ made. They got a big PR machine.
The Catholic Church is older than TV movie media. I mean, come on.
There you go.
Give me something more.
That's a good point.
I'm trying to say, if you won't interrupt me,
it's the oldest book in the world.
Would you give me a chance to say Mother Teresa is flattening the good work of every atheist out there. It's not fair to have her kiss her on a stamp. And quite frankly,
okay, then do
I don't think she's as good as
you were mentioning. Angelina Jolie's an atheist, which you have no, fact to go on. That's never been publicized. Don't speak for her. Okay, she's
right.
done good
and,
things.
And David, let me ask you a question. How do you know that Angelina Jolie has done more than Mother Teresa?
Are you kidding me? Everybody knows that Angelina Jolie, she got all those war refugees cleared out. She got milk and everything to those. This Mother Teresa, I think Mother Teresa is a big empty.
Has Angelina
Jolie
showed up in a pile of cookies? I mean, like, Mother Teresa has inspired people and given people a spiritual uplifting that nothing. When it comes to faith, sir, obviously that you don't have, and I'm very sorry, but when you have the inspiration.
I have faith in man. I have faith in the human being.
That's your problem. You don't have faith in man. You should never have faith in a man.
I have faith in Angelina Jolie.
You have faith in your creator.
Well, man, you know, we can argue the existence of God. The fact is, I'm an atheist, and I just, if you put Angelina Jolie's face on a stamp, we've got more and more young atheists just like yourself who are turning back to God. You're not
an
atheist. But
please,
the people your age who are going to turn around, I think you were an atheist. You said you were at the beginning.
No, she didn't.
No, I didn't. I never said that.
But you said you were, but now you believe in God because you don't like me,
you're
something like that.
No,
she didn't say that.
Well,
I never said that. I wouldn't be calling if I was. Would I be sitting here arguing if I was? Because that would be a problem. Good way. You don't make sense. You're not fast. You don't make sense.
I don't know how intelligent you are. And I said that as long as Angelina, as long as Mother Jolie and Angelina Teresa.
Get it straight.
Look at her laughing at me. She's laughing at me. Real Christian of her.
What's her name? Angelina Jolie and Mother Teresa.
Right. As long as Mother Teresa's face is on a stamp, the hard work that atheists like me have done is, forgive me for saying this, but Mother Teresa's lifting her gown and you-know-what all over my work. And I think it is unfair that the U.S. government give her a hand.
No.
She lifts her robe and does you-know-what all over your work.
How do you feel about Mother Teresa now?
I think that it's in your mind, David, and I also believe that there is such a thing as a constituency and support. If a lot of people want to buy a Mother Teresa stamp, they're going to sell a lot of them. They're going to put her face on it. If a lot of people want to buy an Angelina Jolie stamp, that's fine. But just because the one has a belief system and the other has a belief system that you may not agree with, this is about making money. You know that?
Are you trying to tell me that Teresa's going to sell more stamps than Jolie?
Yes, I do. I do. She's got a broader base of support. A lot of old ladies will buy stamps like that.
You don't think old ladies will buy an Angelina Jolie stamp?
No, I don't.
No, absolutely not.
I feel sorry for you.
You feel sorry for me? What makes an old lady's going to buy a stamp?
Is this old lady's late?
Yeah. Okay, Laura, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on here to Bill in... Bill's up in Alaska as well here this evening. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show with David Hall. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, this is directed to you, not your guest, because I don't want to talk over him. But
you think Jolie is the guy who's going to buy a stamp?
Not as much as go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Give the guy a week to have your show. Take a vacation. He can lose all his sponsors. Nobody wants to listen to him. Look, everybody on a stamp is known for what they did. Put Patton on there, he was a general. Put Eisenhower on there, he was the president. Put Elvis on there, he was a singer. This Mother Teresa deal, she did good things. I don't know whether she's an atheist or not. If you study her life, for many years she said she couldn't prove there was a God. She just did what
Mother
she thought.
Mother Teresa, she never said
and
she's an atheist. She did
Christmas
believe in
stamp God. Every year.
Wow.
And,
yes.
And bottom line, if he wants a stamp, he's got to get it run through the post office. So he can complain who's on the stamp as much as he wants. He's got to get by the post office. And with that, I'll say good luck.
You know, the thing of it is about stamps is every time a new stamp comes out, this never ends, man. They don't like this about the stamp. They don't like that about the stamp. I remember when that Robert Johnson stamp came out and they airbrushed out the cigarette.
I'm just saying, if you want to stick Mother Teresa's face on a stamp, I need equal time. This guy thinks she's an atheist.
Wow. Go see the post office.
Which guy?
You can get it there.
You think Mother Teresa's an atheist. Isn't that what you said, Bill? You did.
No, that's not what I said. I said for a long time she felt that she couldn't prove there was a God either, but she thought she ought to do some things that she thought was right, and she did.
See, Bill knows a lot about her life.
Oh, so what? I'm talking about Angelina.
What do you know about Angelina
Jolie? You can't even tell me what.
Yeah. You can't tell me what Angelina Jolie did.
She got those kids. So what about Angelina Jolie? Buddy, you're alone on that one.
The fact is that when it comes to a constituent, like I said, how many stamps?
I'm a kid. She got 1,000 kids. She went over to Iraq. She went over to Iraq, and she stopped the war or whatever the hell she did. She got a bunch of...
She didn't stop the war. She worked with the military to get the refugees going.
Yeah. What about that?
That ain't like a lifetime of work like Mother Teresa. All right, look at. Thank you so much, Bill, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. The question that we the question here, David, is not so much whether one person or the other is worthy of a stamp. You don't want Mother Teresa to have a stamp because, like you said, she's got too much of a constituency. I mean, what does that mean, David? David.
Try again.
She has too much support because she's got a because in David's mind she the Catholic Church is behind her.
And all that's what I said. And everything else.
Hold on, we didn't have you connected, okay?
You didn't have me connected.
No.
I just said some of the most brilliant stuff that's ever been heard on the radio, and I wasn't on the air.
No.
Boy, you really, and you know what, don't tell me you don't do it on purpose, because I know you do. I know you hit the mute button every time I say something cool.
No, I, hold on. No, I don't. Think about what you said, and you can say it again when we come back. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk with David G. Hall about the Atheists of America upset that with a Mother Teresa stamp, that's it. She's the public relations machine that she's got will roll over the good work of atheists everywhere. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. All the cool stuff.
Every cool thing I say, you mute.
Phil Henry.
Wow.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall is with us. Mr. Hall, a vice president of syndication for our show and also a atheist. Tell me again about Lance Armstrong.
I said Lance Armstrong is also an atheist. And I tell you, that is an example. That young man is an example of guts. Here's a guy that lost both testicles to cancer, and he still doesn't believe in God. And the other guy that I was going to mention is...
Still doesn't believe in God, huh?
No, he doesn't believe in God, and he lost... Excuse me. He lost his testicles. You know.
You don't have to stretch it out like that, man. I heard what you said.
All right. And he doesn't believe in God. Most people would lose something like that, and they would never stop believing in God. Look at this guy. Talk show host Tom Likas. You take a look at that guy. You look in the mirror every morning as Tom Likas. You figured a guy like that would believe in God, and he doesn't.
All right. This is an opportunity for you to insult people.
I'm not insulting Lance Armstrong. I'm not insulting him.
So you're saying that because Lance Armstrong is an atheist and Angelina Jolie is an atheist.
And Jodie Foster and Billy Joel, because, and I don't know why, but because they share my belief system. And there's no stamps for them, but there's going to be one for this Mother Teresa who's gotten every award, the Nobel Prize. Is there any more we can heap on her? Maybe we can give her another bag of money. How much money do you think she's worth personally? I bet you she's worth millions.
She's a nun. She takes a poverty oath or vow. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. Nuns take that vow, so they cannot own anything personally.
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to, man, but that's the fact. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joni. Joni, you're on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Well, first, I want to start off by pointing out the things that I agree with, which... the gentleman is talking about, first of all, that atheists are often represented in the media since the beginning of time as people who have no ethics and morals. And that is not true. I myself am an atheist and find myself, or at least I hope, in any case, to be very ethical.
Thank God we've got another atheist. I've been talking to nothing but these papists and cultists all night.
Now, what my point would be, my point being that, you know, as an atheist, I would ask, I would also point out that people such as Angelina Jolie is indeed a tremendous humanitarian and has in fact, done a great deal of good in the world. Now, having said that, I will have to point out, though, however, that if you were to put these two individuals in a column next to each other, it would be very difficult for any single person in the last 50 or even 100 years you could point to who has done more for humanity than Mother Teresa. Now, that doesn't mean that Angelina Jolie...
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying,
right. Now,
if you're going to have a Mother Teresa stamp, you got to have two or three atheist stamps.
My point being this, that the same way I would buy a Martin Luther King stamp, I would also buy a Mother Teresa stamp. And I would buy her stamp not because she was a Catholic, but because she was a tremendous humanitarian. And that I would honor her legacy in that regard. But
then you're getting up in the steamroller with her. You're sitting next to her in the steamroller as she destroys everything we've tried to work for. I don't necessarily feel that way.
I would think part of being an atheist means that you also... Hold on, sir. Part of being an atheist...
Hold on.
Part of being an atheist means that you essentially say to somebody who is trying to jam things down your throat that, I'm sorry, the only way I could ever dedicate my life to anything is if it makes sense to me. And I often tell people when I get into discussions, not unlike this one, about religion and about the concept of faith, what I have to say to them is, I am envious. I am envious that you have faith in your life. However,
this lady, Phil, is a plant. She sounds like she's a plant from the Catholic Church, Phil.
Wait.
No,
hold
sir,
the
I'm
phone.
Not. I was brought
because
up,
she
exactly.
happens to disagree
sir,
with
me,
you.
This let
woman
me point
is
out.
A plant from the Boston
Diocese. I need to point out to you, that I am an atheist. I was raised
insulting.
In an atheist home, and I myself have adopted children.
Do you know that?
So I am
right,
the person that you are talking about.
Do you know? All right, ma'am, can you answer this question then in order to prove? Do you know how we greet each other?
Come again?
I said, do you know how we greet each other?
Do we know how
what,
we
what
greet
do you mean?
Each other?
You're talking about atheists?
I say hello.
Yes, there's the late. Well, okay.
Are you talking about atheists?
I'm talking about how atheists greet each other, yes, when they know that we're atheists.
With all due respect, I want to point out one of other
things.
There's a handshake.
Yeah,
I appreciate the fact that you are defending your beliefs. I think it's a good thing.
But you don't even know the handshake.
What do you mean handshake?
There's an atheist handshake. Okay, go ahead.
Sir,
go ahead, ma'am.
You're not really helping the cause. Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He must be crazy. I mean, that's terrible to do something like that.
Gentlemen are recognized.
Finally, if anybody wants to know where cynicism is that there's one.
I have the floor, President Pro Tem. I don't want to hear you anymore.
911, state your emergency.
There's some cops. There's some guys.
Are you gay?
What's a gay what?
You blow it!
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where we take you on a nightly trip through the looking glass of this marvelous world called talk radio. Researchers reveal that men want sex until they die. Women, they don't want sex until they die. That's the research, I'm telling you. New York may ban restaurants from using salt. This is all real, what we call real facts, you know? 877-876-PHIL, a good evening and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, known internationally and galactically. And we're on the Internet at philhendryshow.com. All you have to do is go over there. You can log on using your backstage pass, and you can watch a video of the show tonight. You know, we always say it takes you a couple of weeks to figure this show out. However, if you get a backstage pass and you're actually watching us doing our video cast, it takes you 5 seconds to figure the show out. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The very compelling story from this 7-year-old boy in Norwalk, California. Norwalk, California is down the Long Beach Freeway. It's kind of heading south out of the major city of Los Angeles proper. It's on the way, roughly on the way down towards San Pedro, Long Beach. It's a working class town. It is a part of a sprawl that began after World War II when Lakewood was developed. Norwalk, Downey, and the city of Los Angeles became the sprawling megalopolis that it is today. In the city of Norwalk today, a 7-year-old boy called 911 while armed robbers were threatening his mother and his father. And the boy, who is identified only as Carlos because he is a child and he deserves a little bit of anonymity, told reporters today that he remained calm during the ordeal because his mother used to make him practice dialing 911 in case of emergencies. We're going to have Robert Green on from Fraser Foods to talk about this case and his interest in this boy. Here is Carlos calling 911 to report gunmen have broken into his home.
911, state your emergency.
There's some call. There's some guy who's going to kill my mom and dad. Can you come?
What happened? Where are you at?
Norwalk, California.
Okay, what's your name, sweetie? What's your name?
Carlos. I'm the,
Carlos?
Yeah.
How old are you, Carlos?
Can you come really fast? Please, please.
Can you tell me what happened?
They come, they ring the door, and they have guns. They shoot my mom and dad.
Right now?
Yeah. Can you come really fast? Bring a gun.
Okay, listen to me. I have them coming.
None of them.
Listen to me. I have them coming, hon. Listen, okay? Listen to me. Take a deep breath. I already have the police coming. Listen, hon. How old are you?
7 years old.
Okay.
All right, this was a home invasion, as you might imagine. The following clip from this tape, it's very chilling. You should know that the kids were not hurt. No one was hurt. The gunman fled, but they do break into the bathroom where Carlos is hiding with his sister.
Can you come really fast? Hurry up.
Yes, stay on the line with me. Don't hang up. Listen to me. We're coming to help you, but listen to me, okay?
Okay.
When you were in the house, tell me exactly what happened, okay? Just stay where you are and don't hang up, whatever you do.
Okay. They bring the guy, they have a...
Hey, we need to get the dad. We have a home invasion. And he's saying that they caught the mom and the dad, and they're 7-year-old was screaming 911 in the phone. Yes, but they just broke into the bathroom and took the kids.
So there you hear. You hear the dispatcher. You heard Carlos. The assailants invaded the home. They held his parents at gunpoint while he and his 6-year-old sister were in the locked bathroom. He begged the dispatcher, as you could hear him, please tell the police to come. The assailants left without taking anything once they realized the boy had called 911. Apparently they asked him, who are you on the phone with? He said, I'm on with 911, and that's when they fled. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. What a story, Bob, huh?
Well, I think it's a story, especially if you're a parent or you're an uncle or anyone that has children in your care. It's just one of those stories you can't forget, Bill.
Now, Bob, I know you have a particular interest in this story because I know that you, your stores, Fraser Foods, are throughout the Southwest. You have one store in the L.A. area, and you've got another one?
We do have a planned opening, Phil, for tomorrow, a store of ours in the Downey area. And to that end, we were hopeful that Carlos would join us for the opening of this store in Downey. I have not heard back from him or from any of the principals there. What we were hoping for is that Carlos would join us and cut the ribbon for our Downey store. I understand that there are a lot of people today, Phil.
You wanted Carlos to come down to the store tomorrow?
Yeah, but there are an awful lot of people, obviously, today that, you know, have interest in him. There are a lot of people that, I guess, want to have him on TV and interview him. I understand that. And there are a lot of people that that want his attention. I'm a businessman. I don't have the pull, I guess, of a TV station. I don't have the glamour of a movie. I'm just a businessman who wanted a little bit of help from a young man who had gained some notoriety today, but I'm given to understand that isn't going to happen. And so you move on.
You were asking that this boy, Carlos, the 7-year-old, come to the Downey store tomorrow to cut a ribbon.
Right. We're having an opening. This is the second Southern California store. We've got some 27 stores in the southwest and the southeast. And I was hopeful that this boy would come to our Downey store, cut the ribbon, wave, take some photographs.
Bob, I can well imagine your interest in this boy is what exactly?
I think it should be a little bit obvious. The boy helped save his family's life. Grocery shopping is about families. The grocery experience, the shopping experience, keeping your family well-stocked and well-fed, is what family life is all about on some level. And to have a boy there who helped save his family from, I can only imagine what, cutting the ribbon and taking some photographs with us, I thought spoke very well to the family nature of Fraser Foods. But, again, he apparently has not seen fit or has not, I guess, been taught that you at least return a phone call and that you are a polite. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, you said to me before we went on the air, you said that this boy has been helpful to a lot of people except a businessman in Buena Park. That you're referring to yourself.
Well, I don't want this to be about me. I'm noticing that the boy has been talking to all kinds of media and all kinds of people about the phone call that he made to 911 to save his parents. And to be honest with you, we don't have any information yet as to why there was a home invasion there. I hope it had nothing to do, and I'm confident it had nothing to do with anything that his mother and father were doing illegally. I'm very confident that that's the case. I don't know what really will come out, but I would hope that he would instead devote a little time to a businessman who hasn't broken the law. But apparently that's not in the cards. He doesn't feel like calling me back.
Well, you're talking about this boy Carlos as if he's making these decisions, you know.
Well, I think at some point he's going to be the one that makes the call. I know he's only 7 years old, but you can't get a child to do something he doesn't want to do. So who's ever fielding his phone calls and who's ever answering his phone right now and taking messages for him, apparently they haven't presented it in a way that I think I would present it, which is, would you like to go to a grocery store and cut a ribbon? That's it.
Well, you also want to use them for photographs. I don't want to get into an argument.
I think you're characterizing this the wrong way, Phil.
No, I know. I don't mean to. It may sound to him.
You're characterizing it like I'm going to use this boy to promote my store. Yes, I want him to be at the store opening. But I can assure you I'm going to have a little bit more respect for him than a home invasion robber. I'm going to have a little more respect for him than a parent that was involved in something illegal.
We don't want to leave this impression in people's minds that his parents were doing anything illegal. We don't know that.
Let me just jump into something here, Phil. Eric Massa, this congressman, touched a variety of men and was involved in some kind of illicit sexual contact, and yet, at the end of the day, he's going to have a book deal and he's going to have a radio talk show. Harry Smith this morning, I turned the television on to CBS, and Harry Smith was getting a colonoscopy on television at an hour when most people are eating their breakfast. For some reason, Harry Smith and Eric Massa get a pass. People reward them for acts that I think you and I would agree are tasteless.
Well, in the case of Harry Smith, that's an educational thing.
Well, it was during the breakfast hour. There's no way anyone's going to argue to me that that was somehow tasteful. That was as tasteless as it gets. And yet he's rewarded with a very lucrative job. I did nothing to offend anybody. I invited this boy who saved his family's life with the 911 call to open, help us open one of our stores, and I haven't even been given the courtesy of a return phone call. I have ordered flyers. We had some T-shirts made. We didn't go into a lot of expense.
You're feeling disrespected.
I am feeling disrespected.
It sounds to me like you're feeling as if this boy, Carlos, who is a 7-year-old boy, let's remember, you know, how old he is.
Well, you can say he's 7 years old, but I can tell you that once you expose any human being, no matter what the age, to the media glare, they grow up very fast, and they know which side of the bread the butter's on. And I can tell that this kid is already getting a big head.
You, at the age of 7? I mean, what we had today, Bob, was a little boy who had called 911 basically to save the life of his family.
Which is one of the most admirable things that anybody could do. But as the day progressed and he got more media interest, this little 7-year-old boy, as you call him, started to get a bigger and bigger head about this. Until now, he doesn't have the common decency to return a phone call from a businessman like myself.
All right, Bob, we're going to take a break. I want to get back to what you're talking about, because Bob and I have talked a lot about employment issues, about advertising issues. We're talking about Carlos, the 7-year-old from Norwalk, California, who called 911 and saved his parents. Bob is interested in having the boy cut a ribbon at a new store tomorrow, but he hasn't gotten a call back. You're tying this in with the fact that Eric Massa is going to have a book and a talk show, and Harry Smith, even though he had the colonoscopy.
Well, what I'm saying is those are two guys that have been engaged in tasteless, vile, I may say vile, actions, and yet they are allowed to go on and make their money.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. This little boy, Carlos, he's been through a very traumatic event today, but obviously he's been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of press, and he's got a call here from Bob to cut a ribbon at his grocery store tomorrow. Should he? Should he at least return the phone call and tell Mr. Green that he can make it or not, or who to speak to? Bob Greenfield's the kid's already getting a big head. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't think I rolled that out the way I wanted to.
It's fine.
Phil Henry.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts. Phil, don't forget to visit us online at philhenryshow.com. This is the little boy, Carlos, as he called 911 on Tuesday as a home invasion was taking place in his home, and his quick thinking and his phone calls saved the lives most likely of his parents and of himself and his sister.
911, state your emergency.
There's some call. There's some guys who's going to kill my mom and dad.
Well, you can hear that. I don't want to play the whole thing, Bob, again. It's extremely traumatic, but it... That's a tough little boy, and I know that you are interested in having him cut the ribbon at your store.
Well, let me say, Phil, I've heard the tape several times. I think it's a great example of that boy's courage. I think when you play it a lot, though, you leave the impression that somehow there are other people that haven't been hurt.
Well, what do you mean other people that haven't been hurt? This boy saved his parents' lives.
Business people such as myself who wanted to get in on a little bit of, you know, as we say in the business, the sunshine. There's a little bit of sunshine going on with this kid. And I asked him if he wanted to cut there. I said, would you pass on the message? Do you want to cut a ribbon? And
what were you planning on giving this boy a gratuity of some kind?
We had some Game Boys, some of the new Game Boys, but I was told that he's going to go on Bill O'Reilly. This is what I mean. I think that this boy, Phil... between yesterday when he stared into, literally, into the abyss. This child stared into the abyss yesterday, and today he's weighing offers with Bill O'Reilly and Larry King. And I, you know, I'm not getting a call back. That's what I find rude.
Well, all right, so you're taking this now to the level where the kid is being rude with you. 877-876-PHIL, and I don't know what to think about that. Let me go over to Angela in Louisville, Kentucky. Angela, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say I think this attitude that a seven-year-old traumatized child owes you anything is disgusting. It makes me sick. This kid was traumatized by home invasion, further traumatized by the media. He's seven, for heaven's sake. He owes you, and for that matter, nobody else. He owes anybody anything.
Well, I don't want it to seem, Phil, look, I'm not saying that the kid owes me. But if
you know
he
what?
Was giving
that
out,
is, that
if he's
is
giving
the impression. That is the impression that you give. You feel disrespected by a seven-year-old traumatized child.
That's what you said,
you
Bob.
Got a phone.
Well, no, but I would ask the lady to consider, don't you think that if the kid is not returning my phone calls, he started to get a fat head about this? And all
absolutely
of a
not. If it was my seven-year-old kid and he was on a radio saying this, it would just be straight-up ugly. This is ridiculous that you go after a seven-year-old child and his family like this. And there's
I'm not
no
going after
media.
Anybody, ma'am.
Sure
I'm
you
not
are.
Going
there's
after
no
anybody.
Other media I'm... anywhere that said anything about the parents doing something illegal. I've only heard that from you.
I know. I think that's a bad inference, Mr. Greene. I think that, and Angela's right, that you're inferring something here that hasn't been established.
Wait a minute. A home invasion in a working-class neighborhood of Americans, not immigrants, Americans. You don't think that there was something that the father was doing?
I'm not going to speculate. This. Why
sure
would we
you are.
That?
Just by saying that is speculating.
No, I think that Phil, see, she thinks you're me.
Because they won't let that child, or they won't push that child to come do you a favor. I'm simply saying that I
think I would be a better influence on the boy cutting a ribbon at a grocery store.
You have no claim to this boy. You have no, this boy has not nothing to do with your life. You have no claim to this child.
I understand, but you didn't hear. I had T-shirts made. I had coffee mugs made. So I'm out about $5,000 in merchandise.
Because you made a stupid financial decision.
You made a stupid financial decision. Coffee mugs with a kid's name on it.
All I'm saying is she said that I haven't sacrificed anything. I've got T-shirts that are going, you might as well use them to wipe with because the kid's not going to come out. Now, at what point am I allowed to say this? At what point am I allowed to say, I hope he would come out and cut a ribbon instead of going to New York and kissing O'Reilly up one side and down the next?
You don't even make
we
any
don't know
sense.
That,
you should
we
have
don't know that
merchandise made up. Without
Why
somebody
not?
Saying yes,
yeah.
The child would be there. You're just
you're
trying
telling
to make
me
money
that
off
this kid,
child.
I'm opening a store about a block or about a mile north of where he lives. Bill O'Reilly is in New York.
Wait a minute. Do you know that he's going to go to do the O'Reilly show? Do you know that he's doing any of these things? You're making assumptions that the kid is snubbing you. Because
The kid is snubbing me because he's gotten a little bit of a fat head. It's natural. It's normal. I understand that. But I think these fat-headed kids can't get away with this.
All right. We'll be back with Robert Greene, Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, right, Bob?
Yeah, whatever.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. They're located in Buena Park. They're opening a store in Downey. It's about a mile north of the city of Norwalk, where this life-and-death drama played out yesterday. Bob, you have the store opening. You wanted the little boy to cut the ribbon. Unfortunately, he's not going to be cutting the ribbon. And you are, I'm trying to understand. I mean, you're saying...
Well, there isn't a whole lot to understand.
Well, you're saying that somehow this child, seven-year-old boy, because he hasn't returned phone calls, is getting a fat head.
Well, you know that Larry King and Bill O'Reilly and the rest of them have been dangling offers. You know that all of a sudden now this child knows that he's in demand. And the only thing that I'm saying is...
How does a seven-year-old child know that he's in demand?
You're telling me the children don't understand when everybody's paying attention to them and patting them on the head and telling them how great they are? And so what chance does a businessman like myself have? All I want was for the kid to come out and take some pictures. But instead, he's going to go with the big offers. I know the boy saved his parents' lives, and I'm glad that he did. But in the process, it's almost as if business people like myself, it's almost as if he cut me with a knife, you know, as if I'm bleeding.
And, you know, this is imagery that is way over the top. You know,
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's totally over the top. I mean, if you are having a grocery store opening and this boy can't make it out to the grocery store opening because of any number of things that had nothing to do with being on the Bill O'Reilly or Larry King show or Oprah Winfrey, for that matter, then I think you have to, realize that that's a possibility. But to say that you're being targeted...
Well, I can tell you what's happened in the last 24 hours. This guy, Eric Massa, who has been touching men and groping men and had sex with men and claims he isn't gay and is making up all these stories, and now he is going to have a book and he's going to have a radio talk show. Harry Smith, who had his colon looked at.
All right, you've already brought up Harry Smith. What's so wrong about that? You know,
that is a violation of every American home, having Harry Smith on television in the morning with a tube all the way up. You know, and yet I can't get this.
Bob,
you know, I'm going to say the word. I can't get a brat. And excuse me for saying
that. That's completely. What if this child is listening?
I doubt seriously if he's listening or not, Phil.
What if that boy is listening?
I doubt seriously that he's listening, Phil. They probably got him in bed early for a flight to New York.
I don't want to hear that word again.
All right, I won't use the word, but how are you going to protect me from having a bank account drained because of this kid?
The kid is not draining your bank account. You're the one that printed up the T-shirts. Let's go to Jenny. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jenny, you're on the air with Robert Green. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Phil, cut the guy off. He is despicable, deplorable, and any other words that I can think of that mean not a nice guy. He's really does... Not a very good.
I would love to hear from some business
forward.
People. I'd love to hear from some business people instead of housewives,
I am a businesswoman. I know it. Some people don't believe that if you have a uterus, you can run a business, but I do run a business.
Well, then you understand that promotion in a recession is very important.
If you'll let me finish a sentence, sir, I didn't interrupt you. In my opinion,
I'm saying that business in a recession is very important. And if this kid got a fat head on you,
let the lady finish, please.
To call this child names, to insinuate that his family is involved or engaged in any way, shape, or form in illegal activity, to allude to the fact that this is a fat-headed kid, it would be like me saying, you know, Bob, who runs Fraser Foods, isn't he that pedophile guy? I don't know, Bob.
And what evidence do you have of that? What evidence do you have of that? What evidence would you have of that? I have evidence that the kid's got a fat head.
Do you have evidence the kid... No, you don't.
I've got evidence that the child is getting a big fat head on it.
Why? Because
my children were 7 years old. They were not allowed to use the phone without me being present. Maybe his parents don't allow him to call some businessman named Bob from Fraser Foods, but what I will tell you, sir...
What? Well, that doesn't make any sense. You know what? It's a good thing that nobody home invaded you because you'd be dead today. Your kid wouldn't have used the phone.
You know, here's
your kid would have said, well, my mom won't let me go to the phone. So you get shotgunned in your hallway. And you lay there like Sharon Tate.
All right. Go ahead. Bob, you're... Yeah.
Phil, this has upset me so bad that I will, in the morning, call all of my family in California because the best way I know to fight this is in the pocketbook. And tell them, please, never shop at anything that has Fraser Foods stamped on it. Please,
hold on for just a minute. Now, that is bigotry. That's bigotry. And
you know what? This is America.
Racial.
This is
you're
America,
being racial.
And I have
How's she being
right
racial?
I don't know what color
you don't want to
polka dot. As far as I know, I don't know what color you are.
I happen to be black.
No, you are not. You're white. Why did you lie about
what
that?
Color you are,
I thought I'd say I was black to see if she'd buy it.
It doesn't matter
Bob,
what color you are to me. You've spoken ill of a family and a child that you don't even know, and that is despicable and deplorable.
Then why won't the kid call me back? Why won't
I don't
he call
know,
me back?
And I don't personally care.
Because
you know,
he can't get his hat on anymore.
You know what? I don't know that. I have no idea why he won't call you back.
You know that little boy I saw on TV? His
to assume.
Can't get the hat on.
Why should he call you back? You're nothing to him. You don't know these
people. It's an opportunity for him to be a nib. You know, I was going to get my Game Boy.
It is an opportunity for your business. For you to exploit a seven-year-old child. That's called
exploitation. I only have one question. What makes you think I'd let your relatives into my store? See, that's a question that you didn't anticipate, did you?
You know what, Bob? You can. You know what you're doing now, Bob?
What makes this lady think that I would let any of her relatives into my store, let alone touch the produce?
So what is your point about saying that, Bob? Because you want to insult her?
I asked her, don't
he
you think
that you insult can't... people.
No,
I guess he likes to insult people he doesn't know.
No, ma'am.
I asked you a question that you won't answer.
I asked you a question you won't answer. I asked you once, don't you think the kid's head is getting fat?
I don't know.
And she answered it.
I do not assume things about people I do not know. That's called
ma'am,
an assumption.
I don't know why you want me to take advice from a daycare owner. Because
I don't run a daycare.
Yeah, okay.
I don't run a daycare.
Well, what is it with you, Bob, and the insults that are coming now?
Because I've been insulted. Because I have been taken advantage of. Because a little tiny kid whose head is starting to outgrow his Houston Astro hat.
This child doesn't know you from Adam, doesn't know from Larry King or Bill O'Reilly, was doing what his mother taught him to do. The adults are proud of him. The country is looking upon him as a good young boy. And you have chosen to call this baby names because he won't cut a ribbon at your store.
No, I didn't call him a name. I said the people handling him are brats. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you didn't say that. All right, listen, Jenny, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go over to Diane in Marin. Diane, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think in this situation, the only person with a big head or a fat head or whatever he wants to say is Bob. And being in marketing myself, I can tell you, you are doing... untold damage to your opening for tomorrow, because if I lived in that area, the last place I would show up is there, unless I were there with a picket sign. You are the most absurd, self-serving person I've ever heard in my life.
You've got a family to feed. You've got a family to feed, and we've got ears of corn at a price you can't resist.
No, I can't even believe that this is an interview. I think you're crazy and you need to be checked in.
Yeah, Bob,
and
I want to ask you a question. Did you think you were going to come on the show and say these things about a child?
Oh, well, you people are making this sound like I'm some kind of a child molester. I'm a businessman, and I put a call into a kid who can't even pick the phone up and call me back. He called 911. Maybe if my phone number was only 3 digits. Oh, yeah, she hung up. You know why? Because truth is, it's a painful thing. And when you're running your own business, and you've got someone that won't call you back, it gets painful. Let me tell you what. You can't sit down for a long time. And I'm not going to take business about...
Bob, you're telling me on the one hand that you really are admiring this kid. You told me at the beginning that you admired what this boy did. On the other hand, however, this kid's walking around with a fat head because he won't call you back to cut a ribbon at your store opening.
And that wasn't it. I mentioned the T-shirts, I mentioned the coffee mugs, and I mentioned Harry Smith getting a colonoscopy. And
the Harry Smith colonoscopy doesn't make any sense. Just because you think that looks weird on TV.
He's getting rewarded for that. I'm being called a pedophile. Wow. You talk about injustice.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here from Tina. Tina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes.
I'm just mm-hmm. wondering if this person you have on here is an actual human being, or is he somebody that y'all have made up and put on this show to...
Yeah, sometimes I wonder.
I cannot believe...
Sometimes I wonder. Did I make you up, Bob?
Now, let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. I'm a successful businessman of 35 years. If you made me up, then that would mean you know something about business. And with all due respect, I don't think you do.
I have never in my life... I have never called
anybody make you up, ma'am?
In my life.
Ma'am, did, it, ma'am, did anyone make you up?
Disgusting human.
Who made you up?
I've ever tried to listen to. Why would a 7-year-old child that has been traumatized be sitting around concerned about your grocery store being opened? Why are you stupid enough to go out and spend your money you're complaining about on making T-shirts and coffee cups when you haven't even talked to this child's parents?
Because I thought it was a slam dunk. What
why?
Kid doesn't want to cut a ribbon?
What would you be thinking?
That the child would come out and cut a ribbon at a grocery store that would take 5 seconds. That's what I was thinking.
The child is 7 years old. He probably don't even know what a cutting a ribbon is at a grocery store, you idiot.
It's a very quick decision, ma'am. All he has to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. And what I think happened is O'Reilly got to him. And this Glenn Hannity got to
him. It doesn't matter. Okay, a 7-year-old child is supposed to make a quick decision for you. He doesn't know you. The child's been terrified that his family was being murdered, and you're concerned about your grocery store ribbon being
cut. I understand, but that's all
insane.
Over now. It's all over now, ma'am. The police came. His family's not being threatened now. I simply put a call in to Carlos. I didn't know who answered the phone. I said, "Will you have the kid call me?" And they said, "Yeah." Now, what I think happened is this guy, Glenn Hannity, got to him, and they're keeping him under wraps.
You mean Sean Hannity?
7 years old, he probably needs to be kept under wraps, you idiot.
Oh, sure. Keep him under wraps so they can fly him to New York.
It doesn't matter.
When I need him to cut a ribbon.
That's none of your business what his parents choose for him to be flown to or not. That's not your concern.
Then I'd like to know who's buttering this kid's parents' bread then. Is it
that's none of your business. It's none of your business. What makes
I think it is my business. I think it is my business.
Why is it your business?
It's my business because, number one, Eric Massa was groping people, and he gets his own talk show. Harry Smith.
Well, look at you. You're an idiot on a
got
talk
a club.
Show.
What's that?
Look at you. You're an idiot on a talk show. I can't believe
Harry
you're
Smith.
Allowed to be speaking.
Let me ask you a question, ma'am. How come a man can have a tube run up his you-know-what on morning television and make the money that Harry Smith makes? I don't understand.
He's over 7 years old, and he can make that decision for himself.
Okay, and so I make a decision to have some punk kid cut a ribbon.
What's the punk kid
I'm
stuff?
Sorry. You are,
what are you calling him that for?
Disgusting human
oh,
being.
Man.
I think you're a punk. You're an adult
you think
punk.
I'm a punk? What's a punk?
A punk. You understand, Bob? Because you can't seem to differentiate between an adult and a child. This child didn't make any decision, even if he was going to go on the Glenn Hannity show or
he's
whoever it is you're talking about.
He is a 7-year-old child is not capable of making, as you say, a quick pop decision.
Ma'am, if you saw this boy on TV today, he had on a baseball cap and his ears had folded down. Now that to me is someone who's wearing that gangster look, like you think he all bad now.
You're a fool.
And like
you
are you out of your mind?
You
oh,
are.
A fool. Why?
Because you know what? The more you say, the more of an ass you
Bobby
make yourself
Brown.
Out to be.
Ma'am, no, really? Is that why
you
I'm a millionaire?
Because
if you knew how much money I had,
the lady that called before me. I had never been more disgusted in my life, and I hope that
ma'am,
not another.
If you knew how much money I've got, store. You'd go out with me this Friday night. You'd go out with me Friday night if you knew the kind of money I've got. So I think that what we're talking about here.
What did you say?
If you knew how much money I have, you'd consider.
If you have Mr. so much Green, money that you're bragging about, why are you complaining about spending money on coffee cups and T-shirts?
I've got money today because I don't let some kid screw me out of every nickel.
That's what you're complaining about. It that you on your own idiot gumption went out and spent money on T-shirts and cups when a 7-year-old child, you haven't even talked to his parents.
First of all, ma'am, you don't know that the kid was traumatized. He might have thought it was one big video game. That's number one. Number two.
We got we're running a special in our store for a dozen eggs, $2.99.
You don't want to help you take advantage of one of them because you're an idiot.
If you were here, you'd buy them. You'd not only buy the eggs, you'd come over to me and say, Bob, what time's the pool party?
Are you joking?
You know something, man? All right, thanks very much for your call. Thank you, ma'am, for your call.
I'm a what?
An ass. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Robert Greene. You know, this little boy, Carlos, a seven-year-old child, saved his family's life. Mr. Greene is upset that he couldn't get, the kid isn't returning his phone calls. He wants him to come up and cut a ribbon at a grocery store. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For an eight-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts. What he said?
Absolutely, yeah. And you think I have bad taste.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So you contacted Corey Haim's people.
Before we found out about Mr. Haim, and we said that we would be happy to have him at the ribbon cutting, and of course, what happened happened. So I'm in a little bit of a jam. And there isn't a businessman out there that doesn't recognize that these things happen. I was thinking on my feet. I think I was doing...
You had asked Corey Haim to come out and cut the ribbon at your grocery store.
We had contemplated that. I don't know why that is such a... You know, and when we found out today that there was no way he could cut a ribbon, that's when I thought, hey, this is a good idea. And what am I getting? What I'm getting is not good thinking, Bob. I've been called an idiot, I've been called a fairy, I've been called a, you know, little Mary Jane, I've been called a fruit by everybody.
I don't remember anybody calling you any of that stuff. I've heard people question your intelligence, not necessarily your orientation. 877-876-PHIL, Susan in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead, Susan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Smith, or Robert yeah. Greene, rather.
Thank you. This gentleman that you have on the show should become a friend of this child. And take him to therapy with him, I think. They both need therapy, probably because the gentleman on the phone has needed therapy for a long time, and the child, now traumatized, needs therapy himself because of the trauma he's been through. So I think the gentleman...
Ma'am, I'll do anything that you suggest. If the kid didn't do the ribbon cutting, I'll do anything.
He doesn't owe you anything, dear. He does.
Well, then why am I going to... Why would I want to take him to therapy?
This child, like the lady before you said... And I believe you need therapy. So
I think
do the humane
the
thing.
Young boy,
child therapy with you.
I got no
reason to.
Because
I believe you need therapy, sir. So
I have no reason to. If the kid would do the ribbon cutting, I'd have a reason to.
He doesn't
take him
to
therapy.
Ribbon cutting to you, dear. He
then why would I want to take him to therapy? Why do I want to take him to therapy?
You need therapy, hon.
I need it.
Therapy.
Then why
and
am I taking the kid with me?
If you're 35 years old like you think you are, which I don't think you are,
I didn't
you should get some therapy because, hon, there's a lot of life out there to live, and you might want to think twice about
life?
The decisions you're making in your life and get some therapy.
And
that's all I have to say, so I'll hang up now, and I'll listen to the rest
of
this on the show and on the air. Thank you for having my call. Thank
you
very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
What are you doing?
Just messing with her.
877-876-PHIL. She says that you need therapy, okay? And, you know...
Yeah, I got that.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show next hour. And
what happened to the call?
We're all done with you, man.
Oh, so I'm twisted in the breeze waiting for a kid to cut a ribbon while he...
In any event, we'll be back next hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Roy Tarner.